I am very excited about our school because it really is going to be the training center for the opportunities God's given us both here in this state and around the world, and especially as it relates also to the Seven Mountain Fulfilled Destiny. And we're very excited. You know, one of the fun things is to tell people about the tremendous staff we have here. We're so blessed to have Dr. McCray and Mrs. McCray and of course, Pastor Bob and Debbie have our own Dr. Iverna, who is always going to be the best preacher in this church. And so it's just a wonderful, of course, BJ and Melody. The worship in Australia is quite amazing with Hillsong, Planet Shakers, influencers. They all know who we are, and they all sing CFTN songs. Pastor BJ is missing. It's amazing, which is a rarity to them. But so God's done something there also. A couple funny things I was reading this week about actual church bloopers. I wanted to share a couple of them before I opened the Word. These are mistakes that happened in church bulletins, and the funniest stuff is the real stuff that really happened. And because I'm a gentleman, I don't share so many of my stories because there's real people. I do in Australia, but I can't. Here's one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist Church. Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa. Applications are now being accepted for two-year-old nursery workers. That one made me laugh. Sister Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusion. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Last one here. The low self-esteem group meets Thursday nights from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. Hey, if you have your notes today, we're beginning a series in May called New Horizons. And if you, in your bulletin, I wrote a little kind of prophetic forecast of what I feel from the Holy Spirit for this month. Very excited about what God has for his people in this important transition month. God's doing some things this month to get you ready for the things he's purposed to do in your life. Our subtitle for today's message is Five Important Steps to take Today That Will Change Everything Tomorrow. So five important things you can do today that bring change to your tomorrow. Our main text is 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Then Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a shea of flour will be sold for a shekel." In other words, it's a discount rate. They had been in a man-made, created famine. The Syrian army, led by Ben-Hadad, one of the three kings with that name, they came and they surrounded Samaria, and they created a famine of resource by cutting off any supply coming. Please get this. In this world today, almost every place where there's famine has a man-made causation. Usually, it's a lack of godly leadership. So it's never going to be a matter of a lack of resource. It's going to be a lack of godly leadership concerning those resources. So there's a famine, and the prophetic word was, tomorrow there's abundance. And two shays of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So everything's changing tomorrow was the prophetic word. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" So one of the highest forms of an attack against people is cynicism, is ridicule, is mockery. So that's really whenever a person's a cynic and they're mocking or they're operating in that realm, it's really concealed anger. So it's really an attack, and they've clothed that attack with a kind of a little bit of humor, but it's really, there's a vicious motive behind it. And Elijah answered back, in fact, you'll see it with your eyes, but you won't eat it. So you'll watch what God does, but you won't participate in it because of your unbelief. Well, that happens. He's actually run over in the gate as he tried to stop or manage or really control something God was releasing. His life was lost. Verse 3, now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. So outside of the city, but right connected to the city, are four lepers. They're suffering with everyone in the city, even though they're isolated and segregated from the city because of their contagious condition. So these four lepers said to each other, why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the families in the city will die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. If we don't do nothing, nothing changes. Now therefore, come and let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll only die. Have you ever reached a point in your life when you've got nothing to lose? I'm going to get there because it's your go for it season, okay? They rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So God, this is so cool. God only needs sound effects to defeat the enemy. And they said to each other, look, the king of Israel has hired against us, the king of the Hittites, the king of the Egyptians, to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at midnight. They left with such haste and fear, they left their camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these four lepers came to the outskirts of the camps, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing. And they went and hid those items. Then they came back and entered another tent. And they carried from it there also silver and gold and clothing, buried it, and went and hid it. Then they said to each other, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. And if we remain silent till morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we went to the Syrian camp and surprisingly no one was there, no human sound, only horses, donkeys tied their tents intact. The gatekeepers called out and they told it to the king's household inside. Father, we thank you for your word that lives and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. You feed us by your word. You give milk to the infants. You give bread to those growing and meat to the mature. Feed us today, God. Let revelation pour forth from your mind and heart to your precious bride and your servant, your word, and your people. Show the devil who's boss. I declare, God, a famine is over. And that you're unveiling something that is so dynamic and purposeful, the whole world will be blessed because of it. We celebrate you and your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So 5 points. My first point is this. The prophet came into a very troubled environment. If you read chapter 6, it is heartbreaking. It had reached the point of cannibalism. Just unspeakable horrors were happening because people were starving to death. Of course, the poorest first and up to those that had more resources. So here comes the prophet. He said, I heard something. My first point is this. God can't do it until someone hears it. Your God has something to say about your life and specifically about your tomorrow. He wants to tell you about tomorrow today. Because you can change what tomorrow will be when you have a word from God. So let me ask you, what's God saying to you about your tomorrow? What's in your heart? What dream, what vision, what prophetic word, what scriptural promise, what desire, what direction, what is God saying to you? I appreciate the wisdom, the counsel, the guidance, the opinions of people. I have many books. I have a library of 10,000 books. That's a lot of books. I appreciate all that stuff. But really what's important is, what is God saying? That's where change begins. And so if you're having a hard time, well, Pastor, I don't know. Let me help you. Here's your word for May. The famine's over. So in every area of your life, in any area of your life where there's been a lack of supply, well, Pastor, I've been sad. Well, get ready for a supply of joy to overtake your sadness. Well, Pastor, I've been sick. Get ready for a supply of healing. Well, Pastor, I've not had enough money. Get ready for God. Wherever there's been lack, I declare in Jesus' name, the abundant provision of a loving God rains down in your world, and that famine ends abruptly, supernaturally, and permanently. And you're going to see God in the very thing you had nothing of, you'll have abundance of. In fact, he won't just heal you. He'll make you a healer of broken people. He won't just meet your needs. He'll give you enough resource to meet other people's needs. He won't just give you joy. You'll be a joy spreader, an evangelist of joy. So God can't, Jesus said 7 times in the Gospels, he that has ears to hear, often after a very powerful kingdom teaching, after the parable, the revelation about the sower and the seed, he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. The moment your spirit was born again, was regenerated, and you were reconnected to God in eternal fellowship, God gave you capacity to hear. Here's what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They recognize my voice. As many as are, my children are led by my spirit. So also 7 times in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, Jesus said, these are his words, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let him hear what God's saying. In Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, it is advanced to this point. It says this, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden his heart. So a couple points. God has a today word that will come into our life. The today word always has in it a tomorrow promise. So God talks to you today about tomorrow. Y'all with me? So we have to hear it. So in Jesus' name, I declare you are, your ears are open and God's talking to you. God's talking to you. God's talking to you. He's loving on you. He's speaking good things. He's speaking about tomorrow. He's speaking about the hope of your life, the calling of your life, the restoration of your life. Here's what I found out. God has something good to say to everybody. Okay. Second point. After we've heard from God, God can't do it until we say it. So it wasn't enough. The prophet said, I've heard from God. What did God say? I'm not telling. In the New Testament, the word for two-edged sword is diastomos. Di means two. And stomos means mouths. I love that word because I got so much revelation just interpreting two passages of scripture where it's used. Because diastomos means when God speaks to me, a blade of revelation, the sword of the Spirit is cut by revelation coming to me. But the sword is imperfect, it's incomplete until I say what I've heard him say. See, when we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. So God says it to you so he can say it through you. The Lord took Ezekiel the prophet on a field trip, lifted him up in the spirit and put him down in a valley full of dry bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, my son, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, I don't know, but I know you know. And so the Lord said, okay, here's how it works. I can do anything if I can get you to say it. He said, prophesy to these bones. Have you ever been in a situation that looked hopeless, looked dry and dead, looked barren, looked like dead bones, and you wonder what God wants to do? Here's what he wants to do. He wants you to prophesy. Anybody can say how things are. In the kingdom, we're supposed to say how God wants them to be. And if God can get someone to say it, he can do it. Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, he didn't say whoever thinks to this mountain, whoever believes. He said, whoever says to this mountain, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, be removed and cast to the sea and does not doubt in his heart the things that he says, he'll have whatever he says. He'll have. See, God wants to change things, and the way he changes things is to change our vocabulary. God can't change your life until you change your vocabulary. And when your words match his words, you release his will in your world. Let me help you. The best is yet to come. Let me help you. This is going to be a great year in your life. Let me help you. Your family is going to be saved. Let me help you. Your body is going to be healed. Let me help you. Your business is going to be blessed. Let me help you. God's going to restore everything the enemy took from you. So God does it when someone will say it. Turn to someone and say, say it, man, say it. Point number three, God can't do it until we see it. The leader that the king trusted said, I can't see that happening. I can't see that happening. And here's what the prophet said. It's going to happen, but you won't be blessed by it. It's going to happen because I see it happening. The Lord took Abram, and from one man he would build a great nation, and from that nation he would send his son to be the Messiah for the whole world. So the beginning process of this massive plan of redemption began with one guy named Abram. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 13, God took Abram to a high mountain and said to him from that perched place, look from where you are, look from today into tomorrow, look north, south, east, and west. For all the land you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. Here's what he said to him. If you can see it, you can have it. So what do you see about your tomorrow? Where there is no vision, the people are destroyed. Where there is no revelation from God, people do not capture the potential of God, the purpose of God, the dream of God, the destiny of God, and they end up being engulfed by lesser things. But when you have a vision from God, you have a future, a purpose, you have deliverance, protection, provision from God. So if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, you can do it. And so the Bible gives us this invitation. Jesus said in John 4, great scripture. In John 4, of course, the woman at the well, a great example of personal evangelism. They're talking, they begin their talk naturally. Hey, how about the weather? You know, he says, how about this well? Give me some of that water. And he says, I got better water. In fact, I've got water so perfect that if you have it, you'll never thirst again. So he used a natural thing to talk about a spiritual thing. And then she began, well, you Jews say the worship over there. We say the worship. And he said, let me cut to the chase. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. So he had a word of knowledge. You've had five husbands. Now you're living with a man. It wasn't her fault. Back then, a woman couldn't divorce a man. It was a woman who had experienced a life of tragedy when it came to relationships. She runs to the city. The whole city comes back. Come here, a man who told me all things I've ever done. She came back to the city. The city came to Christ. The disciples come, and they're only gone an hour or two. They're getting lunch. And in that time, Jesus reached the whole city by touching one person. Then he said to them, don't you guys say, it's in your notes, John 4:35. Don't you say 3 or 4 months, then comes the harvest. But I say to you, lift up your eyes now. And look, the harvest is white. It's ready. When I was reading that a few years ago, here's what God said to me. Son, when you can see what other people can't see, you can do what other people can't do. The doing is the consequence of seeing. And so in the kingdom of God, see, you have to see yourself healed. You have to see yourself blessed. When I first began in the ministry here in this city 30 years ago this year as a senior pastor, and I'm just pastoring a handful of people, for 12 nights straight I had the same dream. This never happened in my whole life. And the same dream, I could tell you so many things. I was actually in this church. I was in a semicircular church, had a piano. It was unbelievable. I was preaching to thousands of people. And so every night I'd wake up and say, here's what I say to God. I don't know why I'm having that dream. I'm only preaching to 42 people. And so every night I had the same dream. And finally I said, God, why are you giving the same dream? He said, because I want you to see your future. And he said this, I want you to see yourself in that future. I'm showing you in the future. Because if you can see it, I can do it. I wonder what God's ready to show you, ready to give you, amen, ready to reveal to you. But he wants you to see it, amen. He wants you to see the glorious things he has for you and for this world or for this generation. The fourth point I have today, and I'm excited about this point. A couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I was watching a movie with my grandchildren. And when you have grandkids, you're familiar with all the new kids' movies because you watch them 100 times. Because the kids are like, hey, come here, Poppy, we want to watch this movie again. I said, oh, this is only the 42nd time. I know what's going to happen now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't watch this part. Oh, yeah, so interesting. So there's, I think it's Madagascar, one or two. There's this song called Move It. So that song tormented me for a good 3 or 4 months because move it, move it, move it. So my fourth point is this. God can't do it until you move it. Move it. So there's four lepers. So on the scale of people of influence, people that are valued by the culture, people that have any kind of input into major decisions, the lepers are on the end. They're at the bottom because of their condition. So here they are at the bottom of life. I love the fact that in the kingdom of God, God treats everybody the same. Everyone's fairly, non-partially loved and blessed and treated and divided. And they said to each other, what are we doing? Why, how long will we be paralyzed by fear? Let's get up and try something. You know what God can bless? Something. You know what God can't bless? Nothing. Well, Pastor, I believe God's going to use me in business. I'm just, what are you doing anything? No. Well, let me get this right. God's going to bless you in business, but you ain't doing nothing. Right. Well, do something. And God might bless it. But what if he doesn't? What if he does? See, my whole life, I've been a high caliber risk taker. So, Pastor, why did that happen? Because I've taken big risks. You know, I've also made mistakes. Every successful person in any field has many failures. You can't let a failure paralyze you from the next victory. So they said, why don't we do something? And they got up, they tremendous courage. They walked into the enemy's camp. The food's still cooking. The animal's still tied up. Everything intact. But there wasn't an enemy there. You're almost with me. God told Joshua, tell my people, I'm going to give them houses they've not built. I'm going to give them farms they didn't plant. I'm going to give them cities that they didn't construct. I'm going to do stuff for them that's going to blow their minds. So they went there and everything that was gone, everything that was in no supply the day before was in abundant supply in a 24-hour cycle. See, your tomorrow can change. Your tomorrow can change if you hear from God, if you say it, if you see it, if you move it. Give God something he can work with. Give God something he can bless. So they're stuffing themselves. Get ready. The thing the devil's tried to keep from you, God's about to rain down an abundant supply on you. He's not the God of just enough or not enough. He's the God of more than enough, else should die. He's the God who of abundance. It's his nature to give abundance. We don't have life. We have abundant life. Unending, everlasting life in Christ. So just touch someone and say, the Lord says the famine's over. Just tell them that. Speaking to all those watching by television or watching by internet, your famine is over in Jesus' name. Get ready for God to show up and show off. Get ready for a turnaround in your world, in your life. Now, listen. So they took a chance and God used them. They took a chance and God used them. I would rather be a daredevil for heaven than a scaredy cat for hell. Yeah, it's amazing the profound things I will say in public. So they took a risk. The enemy's major weapon is deception and fear. And you'll find that the things we're most afraid of, the things we most fear about tomorrow, are mirages, are deceptions, are tactics of the enemy. And when you really get there, well, this isn't as bad. This isn't. The enemy will keep you from awesome things by filling you with fear about going there. But I have a word for you. Go for it. This is for a select group of you that have been bottled up, tied up, that have been restrained. I have a word from God for you. Go for it. Get up and go. 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 Pastor, I feel called to the mission field. Good. Do you have a passport? No. Have you been to Bible school? No. I just feel called. Well, when you hear from God, you have to then set in motion a process that God can use to establish his word. Well, Pastor, I feel like God's going to use me in business. Well, have you been to college? Have you been mentored by anybody successful? No, 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 no. Do you have a book, a library filled with success? No, no, no. You have to give God something to work with. And so my word for you is, go for it, baby. The season of being paralyzed by the past is over. See, the prophetic word was, everything's about to change. And all someone had to do was walk into that change to experience it from God. Don't miss what this next season holds, because you're still living imprisoned and paralyzed by the last season. Last point. The reason God does it is so we'll share it. The reason God does it. Now, God loved these four lepers. They're important to God. There's no one unimportant to God. But don't ever think blessings come into your world just for you. They come to you so they can come through you. And once you understand that everything that comes has a legacy beyond you. They stuffed themselves. They were they're having steak and lobster. They're passing around. They're laughing. They're at the time of their life. They're running from tent to tent. They're burying treasures. They went from being poor to rich in a second. But about the second or third tent, their conscience hit them. This isn't right. I have found, my experience has been, people that have hurt the deepest often are people that can heal the greatest. That the best healers and the best encouragers are the people that have hurt the deepest and been the most discouraged. Here's the lepers. And the lepers said, even though the city's disowned us and even though people have rejected us, let's go tell them the good news. And they told everyone what God had done. Imagine this. So in our church, there's a few thousand people. Imagine that God wanted to do something and he began by giving it to one person. And that one person says, oh, wow, thank you, Jesus. Their whole life changed, healed, or delivered, or rescued. And yet they didn't tell one soul. And God's assignment was he wanted it to spread like a wildfire to everybody. But it didn't get beyond the first person because they didn't share it. So God blesses you. People say, well, Pastor, I don't believe in that prosperity doctrine. What do you believe in the poverty doctrine? Don't be silly. God blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. It's that simple. So it is selfish to say to God, I just want you to meet my need. But it is generous and Christ-like to say, God, use my life to meet the needs of many other people. I want more so I can give more of everything, of joy, of life, of healing, of grace, of finance, whatever it is, wisdom. So God blesses us so we can share it with others. Tell someone what Jesus has done for you. If you've got a great testimony, listen, just my testimony alone had a powerful impact on the whole nation of Australia. It's unbelievable. So share what God has done for you and watch that blessing. Anything you give away increases the moment you let go of it. It increases in your life as you sow it to other people's life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness. We honor you, we worship you, and we glorify you. What an awesome God you are. Thank you, God, that you're speaking to us something wonderful. Say it again, the famine's over. Just look at someone and say, the Lord says the famine's over. Hey, would you please stand to your feet? Prayer team, would you join me down the front, please? We honor you, we worship you, we praise you, God. What you've done, what you're doing in our lives. Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, here's what I want to do. I believe that God gave me this message. It was just so beautiful how he laid it out for me. So simple, so concise. I believe it relates to some people here today, right now, for where you're at. You say, Pastor, I've been living in a famine. I received that word for my life. So what I want to do is invite, if that's you, I want to invite you to the altar because we're going to pray over you. I'm going to prophesy over a few people today. But I want to invite people to say, Pastor, that this is my day. I claim freedom today from the famine. I'm just going to cut. So this is your chance to act out in faith and lay claim to this word if you feel like it's for you. The rest of us, let's worship the Lord as those come forward that need prayer. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, Mama.
Jesus, we love you.
Jesus, we love you.
Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts
listen,
adore.
I also want to invite anyone in this room that has never known forgiveness. The grace of Christ Jesus. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never known forgiveness of sins and God's grace and received Jesus, today's your day. We want to pray for you. If you need a healing in your body, we want to pray for you. So come on forward, anyone who wants prayer. I'm going to pray for some people right now. Worship the Lord a little bit longer. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a better thing. I'm doing a greater thing. And the Lord says, thank you for letting me bring a change to you. Thank you for letting your heart be healed. Thank you for letting your eyes be opened. Thank you for hearing my voice and receiving my love. Now get ready, the Lord says, I'm fast-tracking your life for a season of not just restoration, but a season of better things, of better experiences, of better dynamics, of better relationships, and better outcomes. Everything is getting better. Because if I'm in your world and I'm making your world reflect my will, and God says, this is your day to know it, says the Lord. Thank you, God, for deliverance and healing. Lord, I've called you to be a leader. I've called you to be an overcomer. The Lord says, thank you for the way that you've overcome. Thank you for the way that you refuse to be marginalized. You refuse to be set aside, that you refuse to let people declare who you are. Thank you for a resilience of spirit, a forgiving heart, but a persevering nature. And the Lord says, you've overcome much and you've been brought out of much, but I'm bringing you into much, the Lord says. This is your season to go in. This is your season for an entrance of favor, promotion, of increase. And if the things that are on your heart, because you've trusted me, I'm going to do these things for you, because I'm your God and you are my son, and you shall laugh with joy for the things I'm doing in your world, says the Lord. I heard you 11 years ago. I heard you when you gave thanks to me, when you became so radical that people said, what's wrong with you? Where are you going? Why are you doing that? But you've lived at a high caliber of surrender to me. You've sought my heart, my hand, my will, my purpose. And it has pleased me, the Lord said, the trust you've given me. And I want you to know, you shall not be ashamed trusting in me. And I'm turning your world around. And I'm investing my power. And I'm intervening on your behalf and those you love. I'm stopping the spirit of destruction and death. I'm loosening the barrenness, and I'm removing delays. You will see it. You will see it. You will see it, because I'm doing it, says the Lord. Thank you, the Lord says, for being so joyful, so being an encouragement. You have the gift of encouragement. You have the gift of exhortation. You help others get better. You help others be better. You help others get over things they didn't think they could get over. God says, I've given you this nature like a coach, like a teacher, a mentor, and an encourager. You help people get past the things that have a grip on their life. And the Lord says, because you've sown so joyfully and so selflessly into others, you've created an outcome in your own life that's different. And I'm going to show you the things I have for you. Better things than were taken from you. Better things than were stolen are coming. I'm a better God. I'm a better God. And I will show you, my daughter, my faithfulness. And your heart will sing for joy. Things I'm doing, says the Lord. Thank you, God, for your power, your grace, your life, your healing. Touch your daughter now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for great love. Thank you, God, for great love. I've given you great insight. I've given you a discerning heart and nature. I've given you an understanding of life's experiences, both yours and others. You interpret life with a wisdom that's beyond your age. The Lord says, thank you for allowing me to give you this application, understanding, and insight. The Lord says, you're going to help many people in your lifetime understand, adjust, and recover. You're going to be an agent of healing and restoration. You're going to be a vessel of miracles in the life of others. And even now the Lord says, I'm filling you full where the enemy emptied you out. I'm pouring into you what was drained out of you. And God says, don't worry, don't worry. You're at the filling station, and I'm pouring into you until you will say, God, I'm full. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Drink, my daughter, drink. Drink of my spirit, my word, my kingdom, my will, my pleasure, my love, because I'm filling you, and you won't feel empty anymore. But you will know my power, my spirit. I can do this thing. I'm big enough. I can do this thing because I'm willing to do it. I'm able to do it. And the Lord says, you keep trusting me now. You keep believing me now, because I've begun to do something that's only in its genesis, only in its infancy. But I'm going to show you what happens to those who trust me. And those that trust in me will not be ashamed. I'm giving you the miracle you've asked. I'm doing it for you. And I'm turning things around. I'm turning hearts around. And I'm breaking loose. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you need to go.
Jesus, we love.
Mary and I love you, an awesome church. If you need to go, you're dismissed. To go, you can go. If you want to stay, you can stay. I love you, an awesome church. See you Wednesday night.
Thank you.